Hello, and welcome to Vision and Voices, a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your community. I'm your host, Crystal Baker Gill, and today's topic is about youth, our youth and mental health awareness. In today's society, we focus on a lot of things. Everyone experiences anxiety, but some symptoms are overwhelming, some are constant, and often they impact our daily lives. Some may even have anxiety disorders. According to NAMNI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, mental health conditions are common among teens and young adults. 1 in 6 of our youth aged 6 to 17 experience a mental health disorder each year. And 50% of all lifetime mental illnesses develop in ages 14, and 75% develop by the time they're 24 years old. So today, we're going to focus and talk about youth and our mental health awareness and what we need to focus on, what we need to concentrate on to make sure that our children, our youth, are okay today. My guest today is Simone Blanchard. Simone is the executive director and lead therapist of Inner Light Consulting and Therapeutic Services. She is a national certified counselor. She currently holds her LCPC, her Licensed Clinical Professional Counselor Certification, in the state of Maryland and in Washington, D.C. She's also a trauma specialist. She studied under master practitioners in the fields of spirituality, human development, and transtution, and is currently pursuing her PhD in international psychology with a special concentration in global trauma. In her spare time, Simone also works at Volunteers of America, Chesapeake and Carolinas, and she is the director of operations for the Maryland programs. So welcome, Simone, to Vision and Voices podcast, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So Simone, we're going to kick this off by telling us a little bit about, let's start with Inner Light Counseling. Tell me a little bit about what it is, what you guys do, you know, who you work with. What is Inner Light Counseling?
So Inner Light is a consulting and therapeutic organization. And so more recently, due to the pandemic, we have started to consult with organizations who are finding that their employees are struggling, right? Because we're in the midst of a pandemic and have been for now over a year. And so the organizations that I'm working with are recognizing that their employees are needing more direct care, service, and wellness programs, and that there's a, you know, direct connection between your wellness and the productivity of your job. We also provide transformative services for our little people, as well as adults. You know, we are in very trying times, and I think all of us, in some capacity, are being stretched. You know, and so we focus on the community. We focus on building partnerships and providing transformative care to the community.
Awesome work. And it's definitely something that's needed now in this pandemic era, if you want to call it that. So tell me a little bit about how the work that you do with Inner Light Therapeutic Services correlates with some of the work that you do with Volunteers of America Chesapeake.
So the work that I do for Inner Light has a connection when we look at how we can impact individuals that are experiencing and have been for a very long time chronic mental health conditions and health concerns, and providing the tools of helping, you know, the supervisors at VOAC as well as the direct service staff help their clients transform rapidly is how we work together. Because I think that people are needing a immediate release, right? And sometimes therapy can be prolonged. And so helping to show, you know, the staff, the clinicians and the directors, you know, how do we reach someone? How do we transform them? How do we bring out their inner light is, you know, definitely the connection between the two.
It's definitely something, and I know because you have past experience working in our behavioral health programs, so I know there's something that you see in your work in our Maryland programs. So tell me, how did you get started in this type of work? You know, what was it about working with individuals who, you know, maybe need therapy, maybe need counseling, you know, have behavioral health issues? What is it about that type of work that, you know, motivated you?
Early on in life, I faced a lot of adversity, severe adversity. And I think that, you know, Inner Light was born out of me wanting to reach back in my past, so to speak, and be the person that I wish I had to help me to develop coping skills, confidence within myself, within my environment, and within my natural ability. And so each time I'm able to reach someone or touch someone or help someone to transform, it helps to transform some of my adversity and trauma that I've gone through. And so that's why I'm here, to be the person that, you know, I wish I had when I went through various challenging times, you know, in my life. And we know that early on intervention and the impact that it can have on you is lifelong. You know, there's a correlation to that.
So what are some of the challenges that you see that children have faced that you work with?
In particular to right now, some of the
right now. Mm-hmm.
I think some of the challenges surround structure. And I think sometimes we underestimate the importance of structure and the importance of redefining your sense of normalcy. And so it is challenging because this pandemic is like no other, because we're still in it. And so when you're still in a, you know, trauma provoking event, you have to move differently than how you would if you have surpassed it in your life, right? Because it's still active. And because it's still active, it becomes essential that as quickly as possible, you redefine your sense of normalcy, that you don't lose yourself because you don't have to get up and go to work or go to school, that mm-hmm. you still get up, you still take a bath, you still get dressed, you still, mm-hmm. you know, come prepared for school, work, or whatever you're doing in your work environment. And that's something that I see a lot of people struggle with. A lot of parents let their, you know, let their children lay in a bed and be on, you know, and be in school, or they may be in the bed and work. And those are the things that can be more challenging for us versus getting up, getting dressed. You know, my children are like, every day you get dressed. I said, absolutely. That's my new sense of normalcy. And I need that. You know, I need to have some level of normalcy. And so one of the things that if I had to tell anything to parents is that you have to create a new sense of normalcy. You have to push them to get up and take their bath and comb their hair and brush their teeth and, you know, put clothes on. Another thing is you have to allow them to have fresh air. You know, you have to allow them to get out. And it's so important to your mental health, your mental state, and your ability to function, because we are spending so many hours in that, you know, vitamin D is crucial.
So I know sometimes we, as parents, right, we may look at some of the things that our children do, some of their behavior, and kind of brush it off and say, oh, they're just being teens. They're just doing, you know, they're just being, you know, that's just what happens at this age. But what are some of the things that a parent should look for? What are some of those signs that our child is having some difficulty and is struggling?
Some of the signs that I've seen throughout the pandemic are shifts in their mood, shifts in how they're handling or coping with certain dynamics surrounding the house and the family. And so, you know, because I have a lens of global trauma, which is a little different from how we look at trauma in the States, we get concerned when we notice a person's ability to cope is no longer there. So if they're the child that is normally front and center, you know, at their desk, ready and raring to go, and then all of a sudden you're pulling them out of the bed every day, they don't want to like groom themselves, and they just kind of do a complete shift, that's a sign that something is happening internally to them and that you need to look at that. If you obviously also see them kind of withdrawing from you, right? And so it's looking at any abnormality or behavior that wasn't present within them, and you're noticing a difference, and now it's impacting their ability to function. That's key. How are they functioning, right? How are their grades? How are they interacting with the people in their home? How are they interacting with their peers? So any type of abnormality or any kind of decline in their level of functioning for about a week to 2 weeks, you may want to check in. A lot of therapy services are now online. You know, they're making it very accessible. And it could be nothing, but it could be something. And so connect them, talk to them about it. What's going on? I noticed you haven't did this, and this, and see what they say. You know, our young people, this is a different group of children that are coming up right now. They're very expressive and vocal and open, way more than what other generations were, and really know what they want. And so talk to them, you know, ask them what's going on. Do regular check-ins, you know, develop more family fun activities. You know, those things help gives us as a person something to look forward to. And we need that when so much has already been taken. Another key thing is see what they can develop or create out of this pandemic. And the reason why I say that is because I didn't realize that my eldest child could draw or paint, right? And so what came out of this pandemic was she started painting to help to deal with her mental wellness and as an outlet. And then she went and she started an online business selling her art. And so help them to find something positive that can come out of this whole very weird and awkward time period, and have them to focus on that. Physical activity. Make them get up and move their body. Even if you're cooking and you're just turning on music loud and you guys are dancing around, have some type of movement, some type of physical activity, and find a way to turn this negative into something that is positive. They may create something or recognize something or a gift or a talent that they didn't even know that they had.
These are all great suggestions and good, especially for me. I have a 17-year-old who, you know, he's antisocial anyway. You know, so this pandemic has kind of created this bubble for him where he can kind of just sit in, you know, into himself. And I have to kind of try to pull him out of it to make sure he interacts. So these are all great suggestions, things that, you know, we try to encourage him to get outside to make sure he's getting up every day. So yeah, definitely writing some of these down.
Absolutely. And then so many good things came out of this within my children that I didn't even realize they had these talents. And so help him to explore, like if you could do anything. A lot of young people have started online businesses during this, just to channel that energy in a positive way. They've started blogs or various things to express themselves and talk about what's happening political or internally. Like they need an outlet.
And one of the things with my son, he's a gamer, which most of the kids are. But what I didn't realize, and he pointed out to me, was some of the colleges, they also have, this is a part of their sports team. So they have like campus online gaming teams that you can join, and be a part of. So one of the schools that he was applying to, they also had this, you know, game inside. They asked if he wanted to join the team. So that was, it's definitely a different era than what we've seen.
Absolutely. But that right there probably gave him something to look forward to.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we need that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You know, we need that. You know, I've really became really, really, you know, engrossed with working out and strength training. Like, just something, you know? Absolutely. And so we have to measure our success and what we have going on in our life differently. You know, and we have to frame it in a way that we're seeking positive attitudes. I tell my 7-year-old, you have to have an attitude of gratitude. you know, even in the midst of darkness or challenging times, look for something positive.
So what are some of the resources that we can look to? So if any, I know, understand we can reach out to your therapeutic services, love to do that. But what are some of the other things that we can try to do, or resources that are available for parents who, you know, so, maybe their children are struggling?
Yeah. So we at VOACC, we have the Hope Center, and the Hope Center is a holistic approach to your physical, to your medical health. If there, because we know substance use has increased, we have substance use services there. We also have employment services there. And so, you know, reach out to the Hope Center. They're also the health department, Prince George's County Health Department, and they have a very good stigma campaign that they are using to connect with young people, where they can text if, you know, they're having suicidal thoughts or if they're struggling, they can text and talk about that. That has become a huge phenomenon, with being able to text how you're feeling and someone texts you back that's a therapist and help you to work through those emotions and look for other services. Also, NAMI, as you said, they have a peer-led group through NAMI where it's led by other peers who are or have struggled with mental health, so that you know that you're not alone, that there are other youth that are going through this, and there are positive ways to adjust and to deal with it. But avoiding it is definitely not it. You know, it's like that song that you play in your head and you try to act like you don't remember it. What happens? It keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. So avoidance is not the answer.
What kind of support should a parent look for from their schools? From what type of support, you know, like say, should they request, or, you know, or even is available through the school systems?
As you know, Prince George's County is returning back for those parents who are choosing to do so. But throughout the pandemic, they had telehealth services. And now that school is coming back in, there will be on-site services as well. So they can see counselors on-site and or the telehealth.
And one of the things, I know we're, you know, talking about the children returning and going back to school. And, you know, I know that that can be a challenge also. They've been home for this period of time and now they're returning and, you know, coming back into the classroom. What are some of the things that we should, you know, or may expect of the children who are returning in this, you know, this environment?
I think for the teachers as well as the children, I think that we have to understand that there's going to be heightened anxiety, right? People have been in their homes for over a year and in a very large capacity. Children have been out of that everyday, you know, structured environment. And so you need to be flexible with yourself and with them. This is not the same world that we left. And I think that to think that it is not wise, and can set you up as well as the child up for failure. And so I think that we need to be flexible. I think that we need to be compassionate for ourselves as well as others, because we're all experiencing a lot. I think that, you know, you do want to have the environment structured as much as you can. I think that all of the signs and symptoms that happened before the pandemic may be exacerbated, and that we need to be kind and patient with ourselves. Don't overextend yourself. Don't overextend them. If they're not feeling it, then they're not feeling it. Don't push them. Try not to even push yourself, you know? And so it's just having that understanding that we're all going through something. And that person that says that they're not probably isn't being truthful. And so this is a universal experience. Be patient, be kind, and listen. If you're not feeling it, don't come that day. You know, do self-care. Make it fun for yourself as well as them. No pressure, you know, as much as you possibly can is what, you know, I would suggest.
And so you kind of shared earlier about some of the things that parents can do to kind of stimulate those children, but can you kind of just narrow it down now? So what are some things that we can definitely do to stimulate those children who, you know, just aren't motivated right now and are having challenges there?
So number one, develop structure. Number two, look to see if there is any difference in the functionality of the child. Number three, develop more family fun activities that you share together. Number four, really encourage your child to develop and or test a new skill that they may have or that can be developed. Develop plans to give you guys something to look forward to. And if all else fails and you begin to see that there is a decline in their functionality, get help.
Okay, so I'm going to switch this a little bit and just to kind of ask a little, and this is kind of personal. You know, my son experienced something last month where he lost one of his classmates, a friend that he had recently, you know, talked with a couple of days before it happened, and the child took his own life. So what are some of your suggestions for children who may, you know, see their friends or, you know, going through some changes, going to having some difficulty? How can they open up, or what advice would you give to them to open up, to share what they're experiencing, what they're noticing in their friends?
I think maybe journaling, right? Because, you know, sometimes our children can shut down and they don't feel like they're able to connect with anybody about it. And so I think encouraging them to journal is key, and it provides a release from whatever they're feeling. Allow them to know that they can talk to you. Do regular check-ins, right? So how are you feeling today? You know, and if they give you like, oh, I'm fine or I'm good, well, what's good about it? You know, because we could just give our parents whatever it is that they want to hear. Give them hugs and kisses out of the blue. You know, let them know that you love them. When they do something well, let them know that you're proud of them. You know, let them know that they can always come and talk to you about whatever they're feeling or whatever that they're going through, and that you care. Help them to focus on what they're grateful for. You know, because sometimes we can get into this mindset where we think about all that we have lost and we forget all that we have right in front of us. You know, sometimes I have these cards and I write notes to my children and I'll leave it on their desk and they'll open it up and it'll be, "Mommy loves you. I'm proud of you. Have a great day." You know, just little inspirational things, you know, to help them to feel good about themselves, good about living, good about life, and reflective on what they have instead of what they don't have.
It's funny you should mention that. I think last year I wrote a poem to my son and I put it on in his bathroom. It's on his mirror in his bathroom. And I put it there so I want him every day when he goes into the bathroom to get ready, he sees the poem and he can read it to himself. And it, you know, and it's basically just kind of saying how proud I am and that I believe in him and that he's strong, he can do anything, you know, all of those different things. And just, you know, just aspirations that I, you know, I see in him and I want him to, you know, believe in it for himself. So yeah, those are definitely, I agree. Those are great things to share with your children and kind of keep them focused and, you know, have them to open up to you. I did want to mention this, and I didn't mention it in earlier, but you are also an author, right? So tell me a little bit about your book.
Yeah. So I'm an author of Good Touch, Bad Touch, How to Tell the Difference. It is a book that focuses on ages 2 through 12, and it helps them to create a safety plan if they're in an unsafe situation. It also helps them to develop emotional intelligence about how they feel, because sometimes our little people struggle with how they feel. So it helps them to develop that emotional intelligence and to feel confident in how they feel, because if they know how they feel, then they can tell you how they feel. And so, yeah, I'm very proud of that.
So tell us, where can they get the book? Where is it available? Is it on Amazon?
Book is on Amazon.com. Okay, good. It's also on my website, which is innerlighttherapist.com. They can also email me at innerlight.therapeutic@gmail.com if they would like to pick up a copy.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Simone. I appreciate you spending time with us today and sharing your wisdom and kind of talking with us about some of the challenges that our youth face. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This has been Vision and Voices, a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your community. Thank you for joining us today. Visit us at voachesapeake.org and view our podcast and others like it on dragondigitalradio.podbean.com. Thank you.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.